tonight?
Well, it's good to have church tonight. Let me encourage you to open the Word of God.
Yeah, I need to get that lapel mic on, don't I, brother? Let me invite you to open the Word of God to the book of... Let me find my place. I'm really bad about that sometimes, aren't I? It'll be the Old Testament. And I want to say I was in Exodus. And I believe it was. It's in here somewhere. We'll get to it. It's over there where Jethro came over to help out some things with Brother Moses. Y'all get that. Find that for me, Brother Stewart, while I get this thing wired up. Over there where it's got Jethro in it. Was it in Numbers or was it in Exodus? Whoever gets there first gets a prize. I'm going to get this thing wired on here.
Maybe chapter 18.
Oh, I don't want maybe. I want certainty.
Chapter 18.
Who got it?
Moses' father-in-law.
Which one was it, brethren?
Excuse me?
Which one was it?
Exodus 18.
Thank you. I really didn't. I lost my place. I'm not going to lie to you. So, good thing we had some folks in here that knew how to turn in their Bibles. Look this up. Exodus chapter 18. Give us just a second here to get our sound worked on. It seems to be working just fine. And appreciate y'all being here today. So let's get started here. Exodus chapter number 18 and verse number 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let me encourage you to stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Exodus 18:17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And I want you to know that God can do a lot of great things through us alone. He accomplished all the great things through Moses when Moses was alone on the backside of the desert. God doesn't deal with us all the time in large groups as He does so much in small, secluded, private places. That's your prayer closet. Nothing big happens until God gets you alone with God. He gets me alone with God. And we have that time with Him where we have revival and where we get stirred up, whether anybody's going to go with us or not. We will follow Thee, as the old song talks about. And so, but there comes also a time when God wants you to not do it all on yourself. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And I want whatever God wants me to perform, I want to perform it. If God wants me to teach, I want to perform it. Amen. If God wants me to be a pastor, I want to perform it. If God wants me to preach the gospel, then I want to perform it. There's some things that God says you can't do alone. You got to have help.
Amen.
Jesus Himself had 12 disciples. He wasn't all alone, was He? Now I want you to know, when He died on the cross, He was alone because that was the price only He could pay. And glad that He did. But I will say this, even Jesus ordained 12 that they should be with Him. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And some of us need to be reminded there are a lot of things in this life we can't get by with doing alone, but there's some things God wants you to do together. Amen? And this is what He says, hearken now to my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people of God work, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Circle the little word, be. Be thou for the people. It's a God word. And thou shalt teach them. Circle the little word, teach. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And then, moreover, thou shalt provide. Circle that little word, provide, out of all the people, able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, Moses, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Today, I simply want to talk to our workers and our Christian workers and Sunday school teachers, but I also want to talk to all those that want to live for the Lord and have a responsibility to work together in their respective local churches in bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes. And discipling them to become the Christian workers that God would have them to be. This is not something that God wants us to do alone, but it's something God wants us to do together. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll bless the preaching now, bless the teaching, however you see fit. Use this time, Father, to get our hearts fired up for God and help our church to continue to move forward. Father, help us to be as a mighty army, continuing to march onward. The Great Commission has not changed. The responsibility to see the lost get saved has not changed. We cannot quit and lay down our arms and sacrifice our religious liberty on the altar of security. God, help us to be faithful. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and reading the Word of God. I'm going to finish off the chapter now. And he says, verse 25, "And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Now, I wanted you to simply notice a few things that was given here in the Word of God. You see, we circled the word "be" in verse 19. Now, God wants you, and he wants the preachers, may I say that, Moses. He said, "Moses, you need to be for the people to Godward, that you can bring their cases to the Lord." He said, you cannot stop being what God has called you to be. Amen. It's not the time, no matter if, and if folks, I want you to know something. When the children of Israel went through the wilderness, they had more than one battle that they faced. Right. There were more pandemics that they faced than you and I have faced. They had national, if you would, insecurities. They didn't even have a destination that they were at yet. They were just pilgrims literally passing through the wilderness period. And they were out there for some 40 years as a whole total. They went all the way up to Kadesh Barnea. And I want you to listen, Christian worker. They were all the way out there to the point where they were about to cross over. And my friends, we may be at a point where God wants us to cross over. And I feel like God has already got us as believers spiritually. We've crossed over the Jordan River. But I want you to know, when they got to that point where it was time for them to cross over, they started to look at all the problems and what they couldn't do. And they started realizing how big the problems were on the other side. And there was a couple of folks that were in the minority, that was in the minority, that was saying, "Hey, God can do it. Have faith in God. We may look like little grasshoppers to the Philistines, but God is a God that is no respecter of persons. God will fight our battles. He parted the Red Sea, and we passed over on dry ground. And we were able to defeat the Egyptians." Hey, God will provide. Let's just have faith in God. But another stir, there's always going to be people in the church. There's always going to be people in the community that say, just quit it, turn back, go back. Go back to Egypt. Go back to the world. Don't serve God and don't cross over. But I want you to know, my friend, when Moses was called into the ministry, he had to be an example to the people of God. If they was marching forth on the dry ground, he had to be an example. And if they were passing through the water, he had to be the example. If he was passing them through the flood or through the fire, he had to be an example. And my friends, as I preached the other Sunday, you and I have to be examples to our lost loved ones. We have to be examples to our children. I have to be an example to you. I have a responsibility to be what God has called me to be. And so do you, my friend. He said, "Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." Brother Bradley, I'm going to just stop this right now. It's starting to bother me. Let's go right over here, brother, so we can keep on keeping on. All right? Let's just go right this way and get rid of this nasty ring. I don't believe it'd be the Lord's will for me to pull with that in the whole service. I just believe that'd be a hindrance. Now let's look at it now. He said, be what God wants you to be. And I want you to do that. Christian worker, be the Christian God's called you to be. God wants you to cross over, and it's not time to sit on your hands. You've got to make a choice. I'm going to go where God leads. Amen. I'm going to go and serve God. When Moses went up to the Pharaoh, he said, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And God wants you today. He wants you to serve Him and be the example God has called you to be. Show the people what it means to be a Christian. If they don't see it in your life, why in the world should they do it? Now, how would it make you feel if your preacher was rolling around town smoking cigarettes and drinking liquor? How would it make you feel if you saw me waving at you with something in my hand that probably shouldn't be there, something in my mouth that shouldn't be there? How would it make you feel if you saw me hold up a Budweiser and giving you a cheers? Now you think, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, I want you to know, I don't do that because I've got to be an example. And my friends, the world sees that, and we know that that's not appropriate. And we would judge a preacher, and we should, if he was doing those kind of things. And guess what? You and I, as workers in the church, we must be examples. We must show the way to go. We must show people how to pray. We must show people how to persevere. When the going gets tough, you need to be faithful to God. When everybody else is bowing down, you keep standing for God. When the Hebrew children were there in the land of Assyria or Babylon, when they stood their ground, they were an example to the rest of the world. You and I need to be an example. Be what God's called us to be. Before you do anything, make sure you're being what God's called you to be. Does that make sense? Amen. God is not so much as concerned with what we do as what and who we are. If you will be what God's called you to be and make an intentional effort to be what God's called you to be, then you'll do what God's called you to do. Show them by example. By being the Christian God's called you to be. Secondly, teach them. Teach them what? Well, he talks about teaching the Word of God. Teach them the laws and the ordinances. And I think that's our responsibility. We teach the little children, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And my little 3-year-old son, he knows the little song. Somebody taught him that. My son Isaac's 12 years old. He was out mowing the grass today. And when he came in, I could tell, you know, when you mow grass, you have time to think. When you have something to attach to do, your mind thinks, and you have time to meditate, Brother Stuart, you know that. And so he had time to meditate and think, and he came in later on. We had some, praise God, we had some hefty Angus steak burgers. Hallelujah. And so when we come time to cook those burgers and we were out there working the grill, Brother Junior, Isaac said to me, he said, I don't understand how people just don't believe in God. How do people believe in evolution? I said, well, somebody had to tell them. And there was a person named Charles Darwin who really promoted that. And people, because they don't know, they'll go to somebody who's at least giving some form of an answer about our purpose of being here on this earth, and they'll listen to whatever's there. I said, now, if they were taught that God created the earth, and the church was silent, but the church took up the doctrine of the creation of the world and taught that, then these people wouldn't be so led astray. But because the church has failed to teach the ordinances and the laws, and we're teaching all this nonsense that ain't even biblical, amen, then guess what? The lost world ain't going to have a clue. And they'll fall over to whatever the Jehovah's Witnesses will be saying. They'll fall over to whatever the Mormons will say. But we need some Baptist preachers and teachers out here who will teach them what God says in His Word. Why do people go off and grow up thinking that it's okay to do bad things? Well, listen, we can't control what people grow up and what they turn out to do, but we can show them what God's Word says. And so when they sin, it's something they know is a sin. They know God says that is wrong. And I want you to know that our haven't always done the right thing in my Christian life. When I grew up and went into high school, like a lot of high schoolers do, I kind of went my own way, and I kind of figured things out the hard way, and I learned some valuable lessons the hard way, but I knew what the standard was. I knew where the line was. I knew what was wrong. At least I knew that. Now, I may have stepped over that line, but I knew there was a line. I may have climbed over that fence, but I knew there was a fence, amen, so that when I went far into the devil's country, I knew how to get back into God's country. And I want you to know, worker in the faith of God, listen, you have a responsibility to teach the doctrine to the young.
Right.
And to teach them. If we don't do it, who will?
Right.
And I want you to know, the world will go chasing after anybody that'll give some form of an answer, however wrong it may be. As long as they're giving some form of an answer, people will be listening.
That's right.
We live in an age that's called the last days.
Right.
The Bible says in the last days, people shall have itching ears.
Right.
They want their ears tickled by having teachers. Now, Brother Don, the last I checked, we have no shortage of teachers. Well, we got teaching pastors. Amen. He's our teaching pastor here at the church. And you know, that confuses me a little while there. A teaching pastor. Well, we got a technology pastor. We've got a teaching pastor. Everybody's a pastor. Well, praise the Lord for it. I don't know where that come from. But I don't go off at all that thing, because here's the thing. We're all supposed to be teaching. And it's not just somebody, one person's responsibility. If you're a stay-at-home mom, it's your job to teach. If you're a working mom, it's still your responsibility to teach. If you're a stay-at-home dad, it's your responsibility to teach. If you're a go-at-work dad, it's still your responsibility to teach. It's not just the school's responsibility to teach my children how to live for God, pay their bills, and be a good citizen. It's my responsibility to teach my kids how to have a job, how to pay the bills, and be a good citizen. Amen. Somebody's got to teach them. It starts in the home. He said, you got to teach. You got to be the example. You got to show it. And you got to teach them. I want you to know, we need some good teachers. We need some good examples. We need some people that are going to determine in their hearts to be the Christian God has called them to be. And to go out there, even when they may not feel qualified, to teach. God did not give my kids to you. He gave my three kids to me. And when I go to heaven, He's going to say, Nathan, what did you do with the heritage I gave you? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? Well, Stuart didn't teach my kids in the teen class how to do this. God's going to say, nope. Wrong answer, Nathan. Well, Brother Stuart didn't teach them when they grew up how to do this and how to do that. Nope. They were your kids, little servant of the Lord. They were your children. How did you raise them and how did you teach them? Let's be faithful to teach our children. Hold your place here, because I don't want to stop. I want to go over into the New Testament to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. And Paul lays down some wonderful, wonderful teaching about the church in this wonderful epistle. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's saying that whoever he's talking in this text is about the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 7, that Jesus Christ ascended into the lower parts of the earth, and I believe that to be the tomb, and he was buried, and he ascended, amen. Not only did he die, and he ascended to go into heaven. And when he ascended to go into heaven, he gave gifts unto the church. And this is what they are. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now I want you to focus on the word teachers. We could also focus on the word pastors here. Why? What is the purpose of God giving these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what's the purpose? Church, do you have an answer? Amen. Let's look at what he says in verse 12. Three reasons why. I can see very clearly. For the perfecting of the saints. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but we're not perfect.
That's right.
And we need to be constantly working to get completed. Amen. We always need some maintenance. We always need some input and some counsel because we struggle. And what is the purpose of pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. I have pastors and teachers. I have people that I listen to. And I have church people that I listen to. I want all the counsel that I can get. Amen. I'm not called to do this alone. And you're not called to do this alone. When we come to the church, there's preaching and pastoring and teaching. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Don't ever get to the idea, well, I'm in this alone, because that's wrong, and that I don't need any help. That's also wrong.
Right.
Another reason, for the work of the ministry. Well, who's going to do the work?
Right.
Who is going to do the work of the ministry? God gives us these apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now, does he say any qualifications about them at all? No. Just pastors and teachers. What is the purpose of me here at this church? To perfect the saints, to help complete and bring completion to the saints with the Word of God, and the praying and preaching of the Word, and the work of the ministry. And we need some faithful workers in the churches, and some faithful Sunday school workers, Bible study group leaders, who will help do the work of the ministry. It's work. It is. It's challenging, isn't it? And if it was easy, everybody would do it. But it's work. Who's going to do it? Pastors and teachers. Amen. And a third reason why God gave these gifts to the church, these pastors and teachers. What does it say? Brother Don, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that word edifying simply means the building up of. The building up of. And people need to be built up.
Right.
They need to be loved. They need to be comforted. They need to be challenged. They need to be, yes, there are times where you got to, I hate to say that, but it is a fact, you've got to rebuke your brother. And you have to rebuke your sister, reprove them, and instruct them and exhort them. But people need building up, and all that's a part of it. To build them up, make them strong in their walk with the Lord. Who's going to do that work? It's the pastors and the teachers.
Amen.
And we have to be what God has called us to be, and we have to do what God's called us to do, to
right.
be and to teach. Well, when can we stop? Until we all come in the unity of the faith. I don't think that's ever going to happen until Jesus comes back.
Right.
So we're not going to stop. Amen. We're not going to stop.
Amen.
We're going to continue to serve the Lord. We're going to keep farming. Amen. And the knowledge of the Son of God. As far as I know, not everybody has the knowledge of the Son of God. So God's got us here to make everybody have a knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're trying to build people, build them up, teach them the Word of God, so that they can be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Exodus. Be to the people. What God's called you to be. Teach them the Word of God in which they must walk and the work that they must do. Verse 21, provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And the church today needs a provision out of all of the people. Those who are able, that means that they are capable to step up, help out, that fear God. Do you fear God tonight?
Amen.
That the fear of God is more important than the fear of all other fears.
Amen.
The fear that I have towards God has helped me to conquer all other fears. I remember when I was pastoring a church down in Tennessee, and I had taught a lesson on self-esteem, and I preached mainly to the children I really felt like it was needed. And I spoke on the message, the fear of God, a healthy fear of God produces a healthy self-esteem.
Right.
Let me say that again. A healthy fear of God produces a healthy self-esteem. When I fear not God, but I fear everybody else, I'm not going to have this good self-esteem. I'm going to think everybody hates me and I'm not good enough and I'm going to be too humble than really what humility is all about. I abase myself and put myself below where God's called me to be. But when I put God where He's supposed to be and I see God as He is and I see myself through God's eyes, amen, as a person that God loves, as a sinner, yes, but as someone that Jesus died for, then everybody else's opinion ain't going to matter too much what I'm trying to say. But the reason why people have bad esteem a lot of times is because they have a bad view of God. That's how it is. But when you have a healthy view of who God is, and you see yourself through God's eyes, and you stand in right relationship with God, and everything begins to get in order in your worldview with God, through the Word of God, then you're going to be able to have a better comprehension of how you ought to treat people around you.
Right.
And not letting everything push you down and blow you around and give you that bad or negative self-esteem. Now, I'm not talking about introverted to extroverted. That ain't got anything to do with it, so that ain't going to apply. What I'm talking about is, do you fear God?
Right.
That's what I'm asking you. Jesus said, don't fear the people out there who can just kill your body but can't do anything with your soul. He says, you got it mixed up. He said, you need to fear the one above who not only can kill the physical body, but he can put that physical, that soul in hell.
Right.
Hey, friend, I'm not afraid of what this world can do. I'm more, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not afraid of what a little Japanese bumblebee's going to do to me. I'm serious, I really am not. Honey, if I got to get the old 12-gauge out and shoot some bees, then we're going to have some time with that. Amen, that's right. But I want you to know I fear God, and I understand that if God stopped giving us oxygen, we wouldn't be alive today. If God stopped giving us the sun, or we were to move just an inch off away from the sun, we'd die today. If God turned the earth the wrong way, we'd be dead.
Right. Amen.
But God holds everything in the palm of His hand.
Right.
I don't fear these other little things. Maybe sometimes I get my, and when I do, it's because I'm not fearing God the way I should. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about having reverence to God tonight.
Right. Right.
Do you fear God? The Bible talks about in last day, it talks about in the book of Proverbs, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why people can just hate everybody. They hate leaders. They hate the government. And they hate police officers. And they hate ambulance workers. Why? People that are out there doing good, they even hate them. Because there ain't no fear of God before their eyes. But I'll tell you what this world needs. They need to get back to that old-time religion where you had that fear of God in your soul, where you realize that you're going to one day stand and give an account of your life to God. One of these days, this old life will pass away, and we're going to go meet our Maker. Well, Brother Amos said, prepare to meet thy God.
Right.
And we need to be prepared to meet God. Do you fear God? Men of truth. I don't want to believe lies. I want to know what the truth is. And hating covetousness. You can't be an effective Christian worker, and you can't be an effective pastor. You cannot be an effective preacher or evangelist, or if you go back into the old days, an apostle or a prophet. You ain't going to be effective if you're covetous, and if you're not a man of truth, and you don't fear God, amen, and if you're not able to do the things God called you to do, you won't be very effective at all. God's looking for some people, and we need a provision of people. You think they just fall out of the sky? The preachers just fall out of the sky? The Christian workers just fall out of the sky? Lord, we need some good Christian singers in our church. Father, we need some good youth workers in our church. Lord, we need some good pastors for our church. We need some good teachers for our church. Honey, you can look up into heaven all day long and nobody's going to fall out of that sky. But I'm going to tell you what, they come out of the church.
Amen.
And we need to look around and see where they are. May God give us a provision of such people who fear God. And they are people of truth. And they despise and hate covetousness. And they're people that are available to be placed over others in a sense of leadership. Jethro said, if you'll do that, it'll be easier. Shoot, I want it to be as easy as the Lord provided, amen.
Right.
I tell you what, I love this church so much.
Amen.
We got all these nice lights in here. It's just so, I just go on and do it, Kenny. I'm just amazed. All this paint done in here.
Right.
I'm amazed at what God has done.
Right.
Didn't have to fight and vote and do all this nonsense. I've just got done.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we can't have church. Well, we could have, but we wanted to be respectful to the governor. We have, and we'll continue to do that. Amen, that's right. But we wanted to have church outside in the open air just for everybody's safety and peace of mind. We never stopped having church. We did not stop serving God. We cut back a little bit on coming inside, but we went on and had church on the outside. And God continued to move and stir His people. I appreciate it. Everybody just following right along. Everybody just keeping right on in. Everybody just doing their thing. And I appreciate that.
Right.
We need the Lord to provide such people that they can help out, make things easier. Moses, I tell you, these helpers were to make things easier for Moses, leading millions of people. And it wasn't an easy location that he was leading them. And it was a blessing to have some help. It's a blessing for any church when you have a faithful pastor, when you have somebody like Moses to step up and to be strong for the Lord and continue to serve God and live right and do right. Try to be the best example that he can possibly be. But it's even a double blessing when you can have some helpful workers coming in too. Moses couldn't hold his arms up all the battle. Sometimes they do get weak. And it's good to have some brothers to say, let me help out and put my shoulder underneath of it so we can continue to win for God.
Amen.
It's just not good for you to do it alone. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Moses could do a lot more than I could do all by himself. I give you that. God can do. And listen, if God wanted Moses to do it alone, then God could have provided for it. But there's things that God wants us to do together.
Amen. That's right.
Not only should we be the example, not only should we teach them the Word of God so they can learn it and walk in it and do it. Right?
Right.
We need God to provide. We need God to provide.
Right.
And then lastly, the Bible says in verse 25, Moses chose able men out of all Israel, made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10. It's wonderful when God gives you a good provision of help and you can choose within that group people to take on responsibilities to help you minister to the people. And as a Sunday school worker, sometimes you see in your class that's not something, you're the teacher of that class, but you're also not doing it alone.
Right.
You can call on your, you know, we've got little children here today. Well, you could be a class captain. And you can help out. You can help turn the lights on, and you can help get the whiteboard ready, or you can help set up the craft. You can help out. Sister Essie was talking to me, and of course, Sister Essie, she's up in her high 80s. She brought up a good point. How come the children don't bring in nickels anymore and coins anymore? You know, and it was something when you get a coin before Sunday school and you get your little quarter or your little nickel to Sunday school. You know what the problem is that we think we got to do sometimes, and I'm not speaking on the church, but Christianity at large, we think it's all on us, and that's not how it works. I want to ask you young folks today, when are you going to serve God? When can you serve God? I'm not looking for you to take up a position to preach. But you can serve God. I told my kids, I said, y'all get ready, because once the choir starts on, you're getting in the choir. You don't have a choice. You're going to serve God.
Amen.
Hey, they're my kids. So y'all don't get to say nothing. But I told them. I told them. I said, y'all want to serve God. You don't have a choice yet. And I want them to serve God with joy. I want them to serve God with happiness. But I want them to serve God. And it's work. It's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, some of these children have no concept of sacrifice.
Right.
They have no concept of being second place, letting somebody be esteemed more than you. And it's because somebody failed to communicate that to them.
Right.
And I've got to do a better job. And I'm telling you, help me teach the church this book.
Amen.
Right? All the way from nursery. You teach them love. I mean, as a baby. Lindsay, when that baby comes into this world, we'll be so thrilled about that.
Amen.
And when the nursery worker holds that baby learns love. That baby learns care. And as that baby goes, then it learns how, hey, God loves you and God cares for you. Well, who is God? And how can I know God? Then you start learning about the sweetest name that the birds could ever sing, the name Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Then you learn all of these things, and as they grow up and continue to grow and go through each class in their life, they'll walk out of here knowing what this book says, knowing where the line is in the sand, so when they are old, they will not depart from it. Maybe they'll get straight away, but they're not going to finally depart from it. They'll know where they come back. I'm glad when that prodigal son got so far away that he ruined everything. He smelled like slop. He was wanting to eat the slop. I believe he lived and wasted all his father's blessings on wild living harlots. I tell you what, he probably not been a good church member. But I'm grateful. Bible says when he came to himself, a light switch came on and said, this ain't what God wants for me. He knew where to go back to. And a lot of people, they don't know where to go back to because they haven't been taught. And that's why all these false religions and cults can get their attention. And right now, in the middle of a great pandemic, I can honestly tell you, since day one, we went through a daily devotional I did to continue to feed the church.
Amen. Right.
I'm talking to you Sunday school workers directly. Now, if they didn't want to listen to it, that's fine. I wasn't going to judge them. But I wanted them to know, your preacher is here for you. If you ever want me to talk and pray, if you want to cry on my shoulder, I'm here for you. Amen. And I said, I got on there and I thought, Lord, I don't like, you think that I like doing live videos. I really don't. It gets very, very old talking to the back of an electronic device. But I just trust, Lord, if you can take one person that needed to hear that today, I've accomplished something in Jesus' name today. For Jesus, not for me. I hope it's for them, but ultimately it's for God. What would happen if I just closed my Bible and said, well, I hope they hang in there. I hope our church can still get in there. Lord, Lord, say, son, are you mental? Get on to the computer, use technology, and speak to your people. Be available to them. You are their pastor. You are their teacher. Now, God didn't have to do that to me, but I want to tell you, I tried to be faithful. I'm tired of this pandemic. I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. I'm ready to move on. With safety, yes, but I'm tired of living in the hole. It's time to come out of the hole. Y'all get what I'm saying? For me, it's time to get out of the hole, out of the cave, and start coming out a little bit and getting back to some life. Everybody else is. And so, but I did. I got on there and I gave those devotions every day. And some people, they really, Pastor, that thank you. Thank you, Pastor. That's a blessing. And that was a blessing to me to get that feedback that the Lord was using, that little thing like that. And see, God's not asking us to do great things. Just teach. Be the example. And teach. Amen?
Right, amen.
Y'all ready to go right now? Charging hell with our squirt gun? All right. Brother Stewart, come on up here and shut it down if you can. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll shut it down.